A few months ago, I was partaking in one of my many late drives. I usually just drive around if I'm stressed or go sit by the water to clear my mind, and it's a total mental health saver. Anyways, after about partway through my drive, I decided to go park at the entrance to a popular walking trail. I figured it was late, so nobody would be there to complain about me blasting my music or relaxing in my car. Note that you drive to the trail by taking a narrow and bumpy dirt road, and the speed limit is 20 kilometers per hour. But it's full of massive potholes, so you usually have to drive pretty slow or you'll screw up your car. After navigating the narrow pothole-ridden road like an expert pilot, I arrived at the parking lot in one piece. But much against what I expected, there were 5 or 6 cars spaced out along the parking lot's edge and one closer to its center. This on its own isn't too out of the ordinary. However, it was close to 2 a.m. at this point, so I was a little creeped out, but it didn't really faze me. After I found a spot close to the middle, I noticed that none of the cars had any lights on, not inside or out. This was odd, as I'm pretty sure people don't usually go for group walks at 2 a.m., and if someone was sitting in them, you'd see the center console lights or something else light up at the very least. After all, who wants to sit in complete darkness? Not giving it much more thought, I cranked up my music and laid back while staring at the sky. Nothing happened until 20 minutes later. Like clockwork, car engines came to life and headlights cut through the dark. Each car, except for the one by the entrance, left in a line as if connected by a chain. At this point, I felt like something was off. It just didn't make sense. After seeing the line of cars leave, I figured I should head home myself. So I started up my car and began backing out of my parking space. As I did, the last car's high beams came on. This made it so that I couldn't see what I was doing, and it annoyed me. So I finished pulling out, a little too quickly, and went to the road. The other car followed. As I slowed down to avoid the potholes, the other car sped up. This continued until they were directly behind me. Keep in mind, I still couldn't properly see as they left their high beams on. This freaked me out, so I decided to speed up drastically. And as expected, the car behind me did the same. At this point, I was traveling down the narrow road at about 60 kilometers per hour, while gritting my teeth over all the expensive sounds coming from my poor car. But the car was still tailgating me. I began to freak out, slamming my gas pedal into the floorboard and attempting to speed off. But to no one's surprise, this didn't seem to shake them. We were no longer on the narrow road at this point, but rather a connecting road to the main one. I was scared. I needed to think of something fast, or I might end up on a milk carton or some missing person report, and that was all I could think about. Then I saw it. Up ahead, there was a sharp turnoff onto an area that overlooks the water. Think of it like a deep shoulder that you can park in while facing the lake. This was the perfect place for me to loose the car behind me. As I got closer, I continued to speed up. I was traveling at well over 80 kilometers per hour. Then, once I got a couple meters away, I slammed on my brakes and turned my wheel as sharp as I possibly could, almost ending up in the bushes. As I did so, the other car shot past me and continued down the road. I felt so relieved. After gathering myself, I pulled out and drove down to the intersection to go home. I was home free and coming down off of an adrenaline rush higher than the CN Tower. Finally, the light turned green and I could go. But as I did, I saw the car driving down the side street that went to the water, and it sent chills through my spine. What if I stayed there rather than driving back? What did these people want from me? I'm truly glad I never had the opportunity to find out. Back when I was about 16 years old, because of my living situation at least twice a month, I'd have to make a 2-hour drive from a city area back to my parents' house in a rural area. I'd say about 90 minutes of that drive was just country road with nothing but valley, corn, or some other crop on either side with the occasional farmhouse, or something that you think people might go in and out of willingly along the way. Because of how used to this drive I'd already been beforehand, I didn't think much of driving that long stretch of no cell service, no phone booth area. Nothing had happened yet, so surely nothing would happen ever. Right? In the middle of one of those drives back, while the night was slowly taking over as I was driving, I saw a flash of light. Huh, that was weird. Maybe just a momentary anemic moment. Another flash. Well, maybe someone coming this way has their high beams wonky or something. Another flash. All right, something's wrong. I slow down a bit so as not to get blinded periodically and swerve off the road and try to figure out what was ahead. Further in the distance, I think I see a person. Actually, multiple. My eyesight's well and good at this time in my life, so I was putting two and two together, getting close enough to realize there were four people on this shitty country road lined up across it as if it to make a roadblock to prevent any cars from passing through. Another note to this is that I don't see any car around them that they could have come in. Don't remember any farmhouses or sheds nearby either. The rest of this encounter felt like it took place in the span of an hour because of my anxiety, but it was likely no more than 5 minutes in hindsight. I'm driving maybe 10 miles per hour now as I'm getting closer and realizing that I'm definitely without a doubt approaching a line of four grown-ass people with huge bright white masks on staring in my direction. Two of them definitely have bats, or some other distinctly long blunt objects, and one person is holding something that the flashes are coming from. I've seen enough horror movies and heard enough stories about crimes on roads like this to think in that moment I only have two options. Slow down and hope they eventually part way around my car, running the risk that they could very well get the jump on me in my dinky car, or pick up the pace and disregard whether or not they'll have the chance to move out of the way when I potentially accelerate through them. I decided the latter. I had no means to protect myself with other than a bat in the trunk of my own car, and at the time I was a young teen who could easily get knocked down with a solid slap because of my build. And my car was shit enough to where if I stopped, I wouldn't doubt someone could break in with easy force. Now, hearing gravel and dirt kick up from under my tires, I was more freaked out at the potential I could drive myself off the road along with taking out some strangers, who I am now dead certain are carrying bats as I accelerate towards them. I'm proper freaking out, but I've accepted that this was the decision I made from the adrenaline of fear of any situation. I accelerated more, and thankfully the two that were directly in my way lunged out of the way just in time to not get hit. I stop accelerating to catch my breath and see them in my rearview mirror, the other two for some reason trying to haul ass towards my car as if they could catch up, and it became so real in that moment that there were people who were intentionally trying to get the jump on me in the middle of nowhere. Probably not just kids trying to get the kicks and giggles out of freaking someone out, but real adults trying to harm someone that came that way. I just focused on driving out of there as fast as I could. I focused on going forward, didn't turn the radio back on to distract me, and felt shook by the experience in general. The most fucked up part, honestly, was getting home and realizing that part of what I was driving on wasn't gravel. It was nails that were now embedded into my tires. Praise whatever God may be out there for me somehow having those sturdy tires. I didn't tell my parents the full story about what happened, and they just assumed I was being reckless and someone was playing a prank. I told the story to some of my friends, and they told me I probably wasn't in any serious situation, and they were just trying to get a scare out of me, especially since being in a car was a pretty big advantage in the situation, which I can't deny. Still, creeped the absolute hell out of me, and I remember it every single time I drive down a road that looks any type of similar. I live in a county that was pretty rural until the last 10 years. The biggest town in our county is pretty crowded now. Overcrowded, and I hate it. I moved from there to the countryside. I like where I live, except it can be really creepy at night because for miles and miles it's dark without any streetlights. One thing about this county is that the main roads always get backed up real quick. Either there's an accident or whatever, so it pays to go the back roads. The back roads, like any other rural place, are less populated, dark, and have lots of trees. Anyway, a few years ago something happened that almost made me stop using them. I was driving home kind of late one night. I decided to take one particular back road that shaved off 10 minutes from my commute home. I was tired and had to get up early, so I was going fast trying to get home soon. This road is a little more populated than some, but it is super spooky in some stretches because there are huge trees alongside the road and their branches and leaves make a tunnel of sorts. So I'm zipping through and round a curve. Up ahead I see what I thought was a giant garden flag. You know, the flags that people put up in spring in their yards. Well, I thought it was a weird flag because it seemed like it was fairly tall and large, and it was in the middle of the road. As I get closer, my headlights hit it, and it's not a flag. It is a person. A lady. She was wearing a red fez. I live in rural Maryland. You just don't see a fez every day. A long, flowy white dress and an orange reflective sash across her chest. A little strange because she's in the middle of the street. As I drove past her, it got weirder. As dark as it was, as I drove by, I could see she was about 60. She had glasses, and I could see her bright blue eyes. She looked in my passenger window, and she started doing this weird bounce thing. I thought she was going to try and get into my car. Mind you, I'm going pretty fast. I don't know what it was about her, but she freaked me out. I didn't think she would rob me. I really thought she was a soul snatcher or a skinwalker. I honestly didn't think she was human. I can't adequately describe how creepy she was. I sped past her as fast as I could. I kept glancing in my back seat to make sure she had not materialized in my car. I prayed, recited scripture, and kept watching my rearview mirror. It was spring, so a little warm, but I felt bone-chillingly cold. I finally make it home and I run in to tell my mom the story. I got in just as my brother was telling my mom about this weird lady he saw as he was driving. It was the same lady, but he saw her at the intersection from the highway and the back road, whereas I saw her further down the road. We both had the same reaction. She also tried looking in his car. She was also bouncing around when he saw her. He said there was a car in front of him that sped off when they drove past the lady. My brother was so freaked out that he won't travel that road anymore, even during the day. Eventually, I found out that the lady lives in the woods. Apparently, at one time, her family lived on that road. Her father was ill, and she tried to take him to the hospital. He died on the way there, and she drove around with his body in her car for hours. I guess she has mental health issues, and I think she lost the house or got kicked out. I have friends that live off of that street, so when I was talking about it, they knew exactly who it was. I still go on that road, but I haven't seen her since. I do hope she's okay, but I really do not want to run into her again.
This took place in 2017 when my girlfriend and I were visiting her aunt in Seoul, South Korea. Her aunt always enjoyed big cities and the culture they had, even though it got tiring at times. Seoul was also a major hotspot for tourists, which meant that it was busy wherever you went. However, that didn't seem to bother her aunt that much. Anyway, we were staying at her apartment for about a week before we went back home. One night during our stay, my girlfriend and I decided that we'd go out for dinner for a little date night. I'm American, and my girlfriend is obviously Korean, so I wasn't familiar with the food, nor have I even tried it. She had recommended we go to this restaurant that served really good food along with popular dishes throughout Korea. The restaurant was located in the more rural parts of the city, which was about a 45-minute drive. That being said, we hop into her aunt's car and start driving to the location. Fast forward about 30 minutes or so later, I remember us driving by some small rice fields when my girlfriend notices something up ahead. At first, I couldn't tell what it was, but we then came to the conclusion that it was a person. Because of the light from the moon, we can see that he's waving his arms up in an attempt to stop us. My girlfriend obviously stops, and he approaches the car while hyperventilating. In a very panicked voice, he starts saying things in Korean that I obviously didn't understand. She begins talking to him, and she translates by telling me that he had gotten lost on a hike. He had claimed that he needed a ride back to his town and asked us to help. My girlfriend, being the nice person she was, told him to hop in the back and that we'd drive him. We think nothing of it when we see what appeared to be two other people hiding in the tall grass. Now, I wasn't sure what my girlfriend heard, but she swore one of them said, "Oh shit," in Korean. This was clearly due to the fact that we had saw them, and that's when the man gets this shocked look on his face. The lights inside the car revealed his face to be bright red, as if he knew we were catching on to something. However, before he was able to do anything, my girlfriend pretends to be on the phone and makes up an excuse that we had to leave. His demeanor completely changed as if he were disappointed. At that point, we weren't sure what was going to happen, but we didn't want to stick around. My girlfriend turns the car around and we drive off, not looking back. Right then, we knew that whatever their intentions were weren't good and that we shouldn't stay there a second longer. Our dinner date was obviously canceled that night, but we never did tell her on about it. South Korea is known to be very safe, so the chances of something like this happening were rare. A month later, my girlfriend's aunt saw a news report of two people gone missing near the area where we saw the men. The news had said it was because the two were drunk and had spread out, but I've always wondered about that. I'm still not sure if what we encountered was some sort of ambush or trap or just people pulling some prank. Even with both of those scenarios in my head, I still feel that the second one is a bit too optimistic. I've never been back to Korea since, and neither has my girlfriend. When I was around 18, I had just graduated from high school and bought a new car as a graduation gift to myself. It was a used car, but it was still in great condition with plenty of mileage to get me from point A to point B. I remember enjoying the car so much that I even drove it around my town with friends and whatnot. Sometimes I'd have to go through many challenges in my life to the point where I'd take long night drives to ease my mind. Most people think that music or weed would help you calm down, but I found driving alone to be very much relaxing. Having that alone time to yourself to clear your mind was better than any music genre or drug. Out of context, my dad is a heavy drinker and would sometimes come home and start fights with my mom or I. This often results in me getting frustrated and going out on those late night drives to ease myself. Needless to say, my family is extremely dysfunctional in many aspects. One night, I had just gotten home from work to find both my parents arguing, as always. Needing to get some air and wanting to remove myself, I hop in my car and drive around the town to clear my mind. I live in a small town in Upper Massachusetts, which is known to be one of the safest towns in the US. It was a quiet night, and I'm driving down the road just admiring life itself when I see something in the middle of the road. I stop my car, and I see, out of all things, a baby car seat sitting in the road. At first I thought that it could have been a broken baby seat that someone had just threw out, but it seemed too random. Who throws out a baby car seat out onto the road at 2 a.m.? That being said, I step out of my car and begin to hear faint crying coming from it. At this point, I'm so confused as to what to do, as I've never been in a situation like this. Mind you, this was during the beginning of fall, so it got decently cold at night. I casually step toward the baby seat, and that's when the crying immediately stops. I ever so slowly removed the blanket and see that it wasn't a baby, but a doll. My heart sank into the pit of my stomach when I saw what I was looking at. As my mind created these thoughts and what this meant, I looked to my left and see a black figure peer their head out from behind a tree. With the very small amount of light from my car, I was able to faintly see their face. Now, I'm not sure if this was because I was tired or because I was scared, but their face appeared to be contorted. Without hesitation, I get back in my car and drive around the baby seat and back home. I'd say I was out for a good hour or so, as when I got home, both my parents were asleep. I didn't get a minute of sleep that night, as my mind still couldn't process as to what I saw. I thought about going to the police about it, but I knew that whoever that was would have been gone if police had came.
This story takes place about a year ago. I was traveling all by myself on a road trip to visit family. It was a really long drive, and it would most likely take 2 whole days to get there. During the first day, I booked a hotel for a little bit past the halfway point. I wanted to get a little bit more driving done in the first day, if possible. Things started out really well, and I only stopped a couple of times for gas, food, and to use the bathroom. I would stop at places that were the quickest, usually rest stops and gas stations just off the highway. I had been up since early in the morning, and if I had enough caffeine, it would usually keep me going. In the afternoon and early evening, though, I hit a rough patch of traffic. I think there was some road construction, and that was just a popular time to be on the road as well. Things got backed up and significantly slowed down for a few hours. I found myself now a bit behind the schedule I was hoping to be on. The hotel was already booked though, so I had to make it. Finally, at probably like 7 p.m, things started to clear up and the roads were much quieter. I was still almost 5 hours away from the hotel though. I stopped for gas, but then went right back on the road to try to save some time. At about 10 p.m, I was still on the road driving. I had an hour and a half to go, and I had no idea where I was. By now, the roads were very quiet, and I was one of the only cars driving. The area that I was in seemed like it was almost in the middle of nowhere. I was getting really tired as well, and had to use the restroom. I decided that I should stop and try to get an energy drink or something. My car was good on fuel, so I wouldn't need to get gas. I started looking for anything off the side of the road that I could go to. There didn't really seem to be anything, though. Finally, I saw a sign for a rest stop just up ahead. I pulled off the road and was happy to hopefully get some energy to finish off the drive. As I approached though, the rest stop was a little underwhelming. It was very small, just a little building. There were some parking spaces along the road that went past it and then back onto the freeway. The place was very dimly lit as well, and nobody else was there besides me. I parked my car and then got out and stretched my legs. I'd been driving for quite a long time without a break. Then, I walked inside the small building that the rest stop had. Surrounding it was a little grassy area with a picnic table and what looked like a woods behind it. I had been to a similar rest stop before, earlier in the day. Once I was inside, I used the restroom and then left. There was nothing inside the building besides a men's and women's restroom and a small lobby area with just some brochures. There was no vending machine, which is what I was hoping for to get an energy drink or something. At some rest stops, they have the vending machines outside on the side of the building instead of inside of it. I decided to walk around and see if they had one. I went around one side, and it was amazing how much darker and quieter it was over there. I heard some crickets chirping in the distance. The ground went slightly downhill as I walked around the building, but there were no vending machines. I got completely behind the building and was walking around to the other side. That's when I got a kind of eerie feeling for some reason. I stopped and looked around at the woods in the night. Then I heard a noise. It sounded like something was moving just inside of the woods, which was about 50 feet away probably. I thought maybe some kind of animal was there, and I sort of saw a tree branch moving a little. I stopped to see what it was, because I was curious, but part of me was wanting to just turn and run back to my car and get out of there. Still, I stood there looking to see what it was. As my eyes adjusted more to the darkness, I started to notice something. There appeared to be a man crouched sort of behind one of the trees. The guy was looking at me. I couldn't really tell any details about him at all, but he appeared to have a beard. After looking at him for a few seconds, he suddenly stood up. There were no other cars at the rest stop, so I didn't know what he was doing there. After standing, the man took a few steps towards me. I had a really bad feeling, and then the guy suddenly started sprinting in my direction. I took off running for my car as fast as I could. I ran around the building and into the parking area. When I was running, I could hear the man gaining on me from behind. I made it to my car and threw myself inside before slamming and locking the door. As I was scrambling to start my engine and drive away, the man reached my car. He started pounding on the window, and I backed out and drove off after he had smacked my window several times. I got back onto the highway and was really happy to be away from him. I decided to call the police and let them know about what had happened. I didn't want somebody else to stop there and have to encounter him. As for me, I was able to stop a little ways down the road and get an energy drink. I was in the middle of nowhere, but I made it to my hotel just after midnight.
I love to adventure, I've been to almost all 50 states. I've seen my fair share of diversity within nature and people. My main reason for travel is to explore the wilderness. Sometimes I will backpack in the Rocky Mountains, drive through national parks, and then drive through the desert. Growing up on the East Coast, I didn't get to experience the desert much. So I tend to favor the desert drive over the mountainous drive. I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and I haven't experienced anything too odd in the desert, other than the sheer feeling of loneliness. My favorite time to drive through the desert is at night, because the stars majestically illuminate the terrain. About a month ago, however, I saw more than just sand and stars on this particular drive. I was driving through the desert in Arizona. Nightfall was closing in on me, which was one of the best times. The sunset across the desert brought me to a whole new place. Sometimes I would even camp out in my car, because in a sense, I loved how alone I was out there. Normally I would bring my dog with me, but my parents were in town, so I was all alone this time. Again, with nightfall approaching, I didn't know whether I should camp out or keep driving home. I figured my parents would want to see me, and I was only about an hour from the house, so I continued through the quickly darkening desert. If any of you have ever been through the desert in Arizona, you would know that you occasionally see horses and other animals along the side of the road. So seeing figures on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere isn't anything out of the ordinary. About 45 minutes from my house, my high beams pick up on a different figure. It looked like a person. Being the generous person that I am, I pulled over to see if anything was wrong. As I approached, I noticed the person wasn't moving at all. They were just sitting upright. They didn't seem to notice that I was even there. His head never turned. "Are you okay?" There was no answer. No acknowledgement that I had said anything. The man was poorly dressed, rather pale, but surprisingly clean-shaven. He was oddly skinny, though. And the more I focused on him, the more I realized how abnormally skinny he was. I was driving by and noticed you. I wanted to make sure that you were okay. Still nothing. He was staring straight at the ground. I sat there awkwardly for a couple of seconds, until I finally saw his jaw move.
"I need some water."
His voice was deep. It didn't sound like a person. I can't quite explain it, but his voice just sounded off. "Okay, man, let me grab you some out of my car." I walked to the passenger door and reached for my bottle of water. Before I could even reach it, though, I just sensed that something was off. I jolted my head where the man was sitting. He was gone. I was now panicking. I didn't know where he went to. I closed the passenger door and took a quick look around. I heard movement from behind a rock about 10 to 20 feet off the road. A man came out from behind the rock, but it was not the same man. This guy looked absolutely nuts, and he was holding something in his hand. He started running towards me. I then jumped into my car and took off down the road. As I looked into my rearview mirror, I realized that there was more of them, maybe five or six, all emerging from behind the rocks right off the road. They were all staring at me as I sped off. I had no intention of slowing down. In fact, I would have been happy if I got pulled over by a cop. Within 3 to 4 minutes of that happening, I felt relaxed enough to play some music. I took one last glance into my rearview mirror. My blood then turned to ice. I was in complete shock when I saw the man who I had offered the water to sitting in my back seat, just staring at me. His eyes. They weren't looking at me. They were looking into me. I, of course, then slammed on my brakes, still in too much shock to make any noise. I couldn't take my eyes off of him. He then started to smile. The look of death was on his face.
"Soon, you will be one of us,"
he stated as he lifted up his knife. I jolted out of my car, and as soon as I did, I could hear my back door opening up. This man was very fast, inhumanly fast, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to outrun him for long.
"Are you ready?"
the deep voice said as he quickly approached me. It was now completely dark out. I had no clue where to go. It was over, or so I thought. There were headlights approaching us. At this point, I was a couple hundred feet from my car. I didn't hear the man behind me anymore. I waved down the car that was approaching me. Thank God the driver saw me and stopped. After explaining to the man what happened, he tried calling the police, but sadly, there was no signal. His name was Mark, and he agreed to follow me home just in case anything else happened. He also had a pistol on him, which really made me feel safe. After about 35 minutes of driving with Mark behind me the whole way, I finally made it back home. After thanking him, I went to go check the back seat of the car to see if my stuff was still there, or if the man had left anything. Luckily, everything was still there. I did, however, notice a sheet of paper on the top of my backpack. I took it and opened it up.
"You aren't safe. You will soon be one of us,"
the note read. A chill ran through my body. I was startled by the sound of footsteps in front of my car and jolted up.
"The dog threw up,"
my mom said, standing right in front of my car. I went back inside. I didn't say anything to my parents. They probably wouldn't have believed me anyway. I figured that I would call the police and let them know what happened after they left.
"Oh yeah, some guy stopped by looking for you about 20 minutes ago."
"Who?" I asked.
"I don't know, it was some skinny guy with a really deep voice. He didn't talk much, but he did give me this letter to give to you, so here. But try to find more normal friends, please."
My heart was racing. As soon as my parents left, I opened it.
"We know where you live,"
the letter read. My heart sank. After calling the cops and explaining everything, they investigated it for a while. But sadly, they found no sign of people along the section of road I was on. I gave them the letter for DNA testing, but I still haven't heard anything back. I installed a security system to my house and haven't had any problems since. And I hope to God it stays that way.